foreigners abroad have the rights, do not have the right to a trial in Canada, why would a foreigner here have a right to a trial in Canada?
Put yourself in his place. How do you feel? Just to put yourself in his place and tell me how you feel. How would your family feel? How would your children feel about you? Why? It's Canada. Canada, which elevated from the... He's a human being. I would like you to take a moment and think of yourself as being in his place and tell me what your answer will be. I would like you to take a moment and think of being his child or his relative. And I would like you to answer your own question and tell me what your answer will be. Can you please answer it?
That was Mona Elfouli, the wife of security certificate detainee Mohamed Majoub, answering questions from the media at the Supreme Court in Ottawa last Tuesday. Elfouli was in Ottawa, along with many others, to attend 3 days of hearings at the Supreme Court. Canada's controversial security certificates were on trial between June 13th and 15th and are being challenged for their constitutionality. Adil Sherkawi, a Moroccan-born Montreal resident, was detained for nearly 2 years under one of these certificates before being released under Orwellian-like conditions in 2005. Shortly after his arrest, he filed the Supreme Court challenge and finally won the right to have it heard last September. There are currently 4 men being held under security certificates in Canada, all of them Muslim or Arab. But first, what is a security certificate? The certificate is a measure under the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act. Once signed by 2 ministers, it can be used to detain any non-citizen without access to a fair trial, under secret evidence, and with no right to appeal. Many critics have called the security certificates racist and are calling for their abolition. While the hearings were happening inside the Supreme Court, family members of those affected and their supporters gathered on the front lawn in what they are calling Camp Hope. Earlier in the week, a group of activists traveled from Toronto to Ottawa, passing through many communities along the way, in a freedom caravan to spread the word about secret trials, detentions, national security, and state repression. I spoke with many people at Camp Hope and others who came to Ottawa for the hearings. This is Dan Hilton from London, Ontario, who came to Ottawa as part of the Freedom Caravan.
So we left last Saturday from Toronto and then made our way through every little community pretty much on the way up here, up through like Peterborough area, and then down all along the coast and up through Smith Falls and to here, yeah.
What was the reaction from different communities that you went through?
Actually really good. I was pretty impressed, especially with like the, you know, terror media hysteria in the last week or so. You know, a lot of people weren't aware of what was going on with security certificates. And once people, you know, talked to us about it, pretty much they were all, the majority were very supportive that, you know, there should be charges brought forth or evidence brought forth or let them go.
Was that the kind of reaction you were expecting on their own?
We weren't really sure, particularly, like I said, with the recent events there with the 17 arrests. But, you know, it was reaffirming to know that, you know, I think the average Canadian, when they think about things, they know what the entire information is presented to them, that they can know what is right and wrong, yeah.
What does national security mean to you?
Well, I think there's validity, obviously, in trying to keep, you know, things safe and peaceful and nonviolent in our country, but... I wouldn't consider national security to be within the realm of being undemocratic and being against the principles of liberty. And so essentially to have where you don't show the evidence to the accused even or their lawyer or the right for them to properly defend themselves, I wouldn't say that falls into the realm of national security that I would define it as. I mean, what's the point in going to other countries and trying to promote democracy and liberty when we can't even really abide by it here?
Hassan, an Ottawa resident, was standing on Laurier Street in front of the Supreme Court with a banner which read, End Secret Trials in Canada. He here's what he had to say.
I'm here today to show my support to the families of the five detainees and asking also for a fair and just trial.
What does national security mean to you?
It's very hard to say. National security, I think for me, it's right now, it's maybe they are going to the wrong, a little bit in the wrong way about talking about the national security. I will agree maybe fighting the terrorism, okay, but not detaining people without charges. So I will disagree completely with that.
What are you hoping will come out of all of this?
We're hoping a fair trial and banning these security certificates as soon as possible.
Wife of Mohammed Majoub, one of the security certificate detainees, was also present at Camp Hope in Ottawa. Two of their young boys, aged 6 and 7, were playing soccer on the grass. They haven't seen much of their father in the 4 years that he's been locked up without charge. The constant threat of Majoub's deportation back to his native Egypt have put enormous stress on the family. In late April, Majoub, along with fellow security certificate detainees Mahmoud Jabala, Mohamed Harkat, and Hassan Omre, were transferred to a special facility in Millhaven, near Kingston, Ontario, Canada's prison capital. The new jail has been dubbed Guantanamo North because of its semblance to the American Guantanamo Bay Detention Center in Cuba. Majoub and two other detainees began a hunger strike just over 3 weeks ago to protest the horrible conditions that they are being held under. Last summer, Majoub also held a hunger strike for 79 days just to get a pair of glasses he needed badly. By comparison, in 1981, Bobby Sands and 9 other Irish Republican Army prisoners on hunger strike died after periods varying from 46 to 73 days after sustaining severe organ damage. Several survivors of the strike remained permanently handicapped. Here, El Fouli describes her family's experience watching her husband starve himself, and of the recent media portrayals of Islamic terrorists following the arrest of 17 men in Toronto in early June.
I'm here today to attend the Supreme Court for the three of the detainees of from. The five detainees in security certificate. My husband is one of the five. He's not being here today, but I'm interested to know the process is going in the court at the moment.
Your husband is on hunger strike right now, is that correct?
He is in a hunger strike. He's in a physically and medically, he's in a very bad shape. He's been on a hunger strike for over 3 weeks, and until now there is no doctor came to see him except one doctor, which is a psychologist. He didn't need a psychologist, he need a doctor to monitor his health. He's dehydrated, he has a high blood pressure besides his hepatitis C and other conditions.
And if I'm not mistaken, this is not the first time he's done a hunger strike. Can you tell me what kind of an effect this has on your family, these kinds of actions?
It is completely stressful, Fearing of him, like, you know, dying out of this. It's, as you said, it's not his first time, it's his fourth or fifth time. He's striking on the conditions on going on in the detention itself. And, you know, it's really affecting me, and not only me, the children. The children are very, very fearful for their father's life. And, you know, they're very, very, very uncomfortable with it. It's really affecting their life very much.
Here on the grass, we're surrounded by a number of banners that have come from different cities across Canada. Can you tell me how you feel when you see these banners of support around?
You see, I feel that I'm happy to find this big support from Canadians, which is really give me a hope and give me strength and to continue on with my mission. And it's a support for me and for the children and for my husband. My husband was calling me and we said, you know, I heard you three times yesterday and the day before, and you know, that gave him strength and hope. He would think that there are people still thinking of him and working for him, instead of being completely, ignorant.
And what is your hope from these Supreme Court hearings? What do you hope will come out of this?
Well, I hope for the security certificate that it's really destroying people's life to be abolished completely. I hope for fair trial. I hope to see the evidence against my husband and give him the right and the lawyers' right to be able to see those evidence and defend themselves if there is any evidence, which I believe if there are any evidence whatsoever, they would have shown it right now and, you know, got us off their back. But I know for sure there must be no evidence at all, because they made them look very, very bad in the media, and as if they're really, really terrorists, which there isn't any evidence whatsoever. They didn't even charge them or convicted them for anything. They had not commit any crime or act in Canada or anywhere in the world. This is by one of the CSIS been answering a question in court. The lawyer was asking him that. Did Mohammed Mahjoub commit any crime in Canada? No. Did Mohammed Mahjoub commit crime anywhere in the world? Then CSIS would say no. So why do you hold him? Why you keep him in jail? And they say he would say that because we suspect that he could be, might be a member of Islamist group. So I believe people are innocent until proven guilty. Not taking them in jail, locking them for 6 years and even more, and with lots of torture and denial of their education, denial of their medical treatment, which is basic treatment, denial of hugging their little ones, denial of treating them as a human being, denial of every right for them, and we just suspect. You know, those men should be judged. Those men should be shown, if there is any evidence against them, should be shown. They should have fair trial or let go to be able to live their life normally with their children and their loved ones.
Just one last question. Recently, we've seen the Muslim community in the media a lot lately, oftentimes cast under the perspective of national security. Of course, there was the 17 men who were arrested in Toronto recently. There have been attacks at mosques. Can you maybe tell me how you feel that this issue of national security, of the security certificates, how it's affected your community as a Muslim?
Okay, when it comes to this, what happened a week ago about the 17th, well, at least the 17th are being charged. I'd like to see them having a fair trial and see the evidence against them. My husband did not get was not charged, did not see an evidence against him. He did not have any fair trial, which I'd like to see that happen too. And the same time, when it comes to the effect of the Muslim community, since my husband has been taken, everybody, like the Muslim community, has been too fearful to deal with me, because whoever deal with us, the CSIS will be visiting them right away, and they really are fearful of this, and I call that action itself terrorist act, by putting terror in people's heart to be able to communicate with one another, you see, and what happened in the media, I say this is what you call, they listen to the stereotype, they believe it, and they just to go and vandalize mosques, which is again it's a terror act. That shouldn't be happening. We should live in love and care and harmony. We shouldn't live in such a terror life. And if they say they are terrorists, they have to prove it.
Jim Loney is a member of the Christian Peacemaker team from Toronto. He traveled to Iraq in 2005 to participate in nonviolent direct action against the American-led occupation. While there, Loney was kidnapped and held hostage for 4 months by members of the Iraqi resistance. With him were one other Canadian, an American, and a British man. The American volunteer, Tom Fox, never made it out alive from captivity. Loney, Harmeet Sudan, and Norman Kember were released in March 2006. Loney was present at Camp Hope to lend his support to the security certificate detainees and their families. Here he talks about his experience in Iraq and different perspectives on national security.
There's a little bit of a personal connection for me. Three of the men, Hassan Omri, Mohammed Majoub, and Mahmoud Jabala, wrote a letter on my behalf while I was being held. A letter to our captors asking them to release us. And one of the things that they wrote in the letter was, "We care about this man's freedom more than we do our own." And so I was very moved by that letter coming from a man who had been in jail between 4 and 6 years without charge, without being able to see the evidence against them, never knowing when or if they would be free. And I was very moved that by this gesture of solidarity for them, and so I now that I'm free, I have the privilege of being able to raise my voice on their behalf, and on the behalf of access to a transparent legal process, to be able to see the evidence against them, to be charged or to be released.
And maybe looking at your experience in Iraq, seeing the effects of the war firsthand, being held as a hostage yourself for, I believe it was around 4 months.
Yeah.
How does that make you view national security right now as we're talking about it in terms of this context here in Ottawa today?
Well, my feeling is that national security is best achieved not through tanks and bombs and guns, but by cooperation and friendship and building ties between countries, by helping societies to develop, you know, education, healthcare. And I have seen, you know, that these projects, it doesn't take very much to build this friendship and this connection. And I think if our national security is linked to the security that other countries have.
Maybe to change the focus a little bit, right now we're at what people are calling Camp Hope. It's kind of a demonstration in front of the Supreme Court as these hearings are going on. And I know that just yesterday you led a demonstration to try to have a meeting with Stephen Harper. Can you just explain how you felt about the last 2 days' events and if you feel optimistic or not about this?
Well, yesterday Mona has been wanting to have a meeting with somebody for months, and has been asking, in particular Stephen Harper, for 2 months for a meeting, and they've said no, and she wanted to bring her sons, who are I think 7 and 8, to ask them, why is my father being held, why can't my father be at home with me to read me stories at night, and that kind of thing. And for me, it was this is important, that you know, that these men who are being detained, it's not just them, but there's families and loved ones, and it's having a huge impact. And they're not just faceless, you know, abstract characters, they're real flesh and blood people. And we want to call attention to the security certificate detentions are causing a lot of suffering, and we'd like the government to meet the children and the wives and the to, you know, the, have the face to these people. And I think if Canadians know, like, understand what is happening, they won't want to be living in a country that can indefinitely detain people without charge. They'll want them to have access to fair legal process, and I really think that we can change this.
Ahmed Jabala is the 19-year-old son of security certificate detainee Mahmoud Jabala. His father was originally detained on a security certificate in 1999, released 8 months later, and then rearrested under a new certificate in 2001. He has been locked up in Toronto ever since. Ahmed told me about his family's experience and his hopes for the Supreme Court hearings.
Well, he was in Toronto for just over 4.5 years, and they were recently moved to a new facility on the grounds of Millhaven in Kingston. And it's just a new facility that the government just built, saying they spent $3.2 million. Yet, seriously, it looks just like a high school portable. And to me, I think they spent the $3.2 million in the barbed wire fences that they built around the prison.
Can you tell me what this experience has been like for you and your family going through having your father being locked up without charge on a security certificate for the last 4 years?
Well, I mean, on each member of the family, it takes a different toll. And I mean, the reason for that is because basically, like, I'm 19 and I'm old enough to kind of understand things to a certain degree and put things in context. Yet, when you look at my little brothers and sisters, for example, they're too young to even comprehend what's going on, to even understand or put solutions or make sense of the things that are going on, right? So, I mean, to them, it's most difficult, obviously. And, you know, I being, you know, 19 years old, being the eldest in the family, I have to take on the fatherly role in the family. And I mean, besides being the fatherly figure in the family, taking care of my family and the little ones, and taking care of my personal life, school, university, and, you know, work and whatever it may be, I mean, I feel it's too much for a 19-year-old. Like, which 19-year-old do you really see that who goes through this on an ordinary basis? And I mean, but I have no choice. I mean, I've been put in the situation, and I mean, I have to carry out my duties, right? And I try to do it to the fullest of my ability. But on top of all that, I feel that it's unfair for my family to be going through this. And especially today when they were talking about cruel and unusual treatment towards the prisoners in a new facility. I mean, one of the things that's troubling me is the fact that they're not considering the impact, the cruel and unusual impact that the family has to go through. And I mean that is mainly also because of we are they're a part of our lives, and we're part of their lives, you know. And whatever impact that goes onto them also impacts our family. So I mean, it's a two-way street, right? And you have to accommodate for both. So in order for them to say that, you know, one of the judges was saying that, you know, what if we make the conditions general on every prisoner? Right, but then that also leaves me with a question that for other prisoners at the federal penitentiary, they've already been convicted and they've gotten a sentence, and their families understand and know that they're being punished for such and such crime. So I mean, the way they're handling the situation wouldn't be the same as we're handling the situation, because even if he's given those same conditions, he's put under, like, we don't have answers to why he's being there. We don't know why he's being there, why he's being punished, why the family is being punished, you know, in that sense. So, I mean, I feel that the best interest of the family is not taken into account. And I feel that's, I mean, that really has to be looked into and taken into consideration.
Today in the courthouse, one theme that is being talked about and dealt with a lot is this idea of national security. Maybe after going through this experience, What does national security mean to you?
I mean, national security is basically, to me, I think it's the security of our country and our streets and our communities, right? But I feel, as a Canadian living in Canada, I feel that our streets and our cities and our country is a pretty safe place. I mean, even with the recent, you know, news frenzy that just happened a little while ago, I mean, even with that, I still feel that our country is safe. You know what I mean? And just when like even with what just happened, I feel that, you know, the timing puts a lot of questions in my head. If these guys were being watched for 2 years, why is it that just a week before the Supreme Court hearing, all this happens? And to me, I think it's more of a political game, okay? Because, you know, like, just, I feel that it's a way of putting fear into people's hearts and to make an impact. I mean, ask any Canadian, how safe are you? How safe do you feel? And I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody would tell you, we feel safe as a Canadian. And I mean, security in this country is good, not to say that, you know, every single Canadian, every single citizen wants to be safe, wants to live in a safe community, right? And I really appreciate the work of the RCMP and CSIS and whatever in trying to keep our city safe. But what I don't appreciate is where you try to, you know, cross that barrier by putting people's life at stake just for the security of the general public. That's where we become, you know, that's where we kind of cross the line.
And just finally, what are you hoping is going to come out of these Supreme Court hearings?
Well, our main goal and what we really hope to see is the complete abolishment of the security certificate process. And as I said, they can always go and use the anti-terrorism laws, right? Where you're charged, you get to see the evidence and you get a chance to defend yourself. That's a fair and open trial. Right? That's not what we're getting under the security certificate process, right? So why the secrecy? We don't need secrecy. You know, we're a democratic country. We're so advanced than most of the rest of the world, right? Perhaps we're probably the most advanced country in the world in terms of our justice system, right? So I mean, we don't need secrecy. We don't need to be in that umbrella of secrecy. So I mean, they have the anti-terrorism laws. They can use those to charge people who they claim are a threat or alleged to be a threat. So I mean, we don't need the security certificate process. They're inhumane and they're just cruel to anybody who's being tried under that process. I mean, and on top of all that, it's unfair. Just the fact that you're thrown in jail, you don't get to see the evidence against you, and you're basically, the way I see, you're put in a dark room and you're told to find your way out. Yet, how are you to find your way out if there isn't an exit sign? You know what I mean? So I mean, you know, just, we don't need these kind of things. I mean, if the government is not willing to step up and go to that extreme of actually abolishing security certificates, then at least, you know, accommodate, you know, change the process to accommodate for a fair and for a fair and just trial on behalf of these guys.
And how optimistic do you feel about this?
I feel good. That's the truth, though. I really feel good, and I mean, I'm hopeful because, as I said, if they don't completely abolish it, I'm really hopeful that they will actually make changes to the law to accommodate for better conditions. So, you know, I am hopeful, although it might not be, we might not really accomplish what we hope we can, but, you know, a step in the right direction is better than, you know, just standing in one place.
This report on the security certificates on trial was produced for the CKUT Community News Collective in Montreal by Aaron Lakoff.